Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Let's kick off this episode with a question for you. How much do you pay attention to body language? Do you notice when people blink a lot, or they're wringing their hands, maybe they're folding their arms in front of their bodies? And better yet, do you know what your body language is saying about you? Are you coming across strong and confident, or maybe nervous and unsure of yourself? My guest today, Blanca Cobb, CEO of Truthblazer, is an international body language and lie detection expert. She uses her behavior analysis expertise and psychology background to get to the truth. Blanca is ready to share everything body language, from which presidential candidates are winning in body language to how you can improve your own body language. This is Blanca's second visit on my show. So Blanca, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be on your show again.
Well, thank you. And we've been counting down the weeks to get you back on. The timing is absolutely perfect because there's so much going on with the presidential race. So that's actually where I'd like to start. The presidential candidates have been capturing a lot of media attention, especially moving out of Iowa and now mm-hmm. the New Hampshire primary. So there's a lot of rhetoric and mudslinging, but there's another story, right? There's another story being told by every single one of them, and that's their body language. So who do you think has the most commanding presence on the GOP side, as well as our two Democratic candidates?
On the GOP side, hands down, I think it's Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
What he feels, he shows, and he says. There's no second guessing Trump. Whether he agrees with you, whether he likes you, dislikes you, you can tell not only in his facial expressions, but he'll use his hand just to wave you off. And then he's not shy about what he has to say about someone. We've seen evidence of that.
Exactly. That is so true.
And then on the Democratic side, it's Hillary Clinton. She is a very powerful and confident woman. She shows it not only by her word choices, but how she handles criticism has been quite pleasant to see. I mean, she will gloss over something in a very polite way, but she still comes across as confident and as powerful and authoritative. She's very great body language.
What I find really interesting, so going back to your first point about Donald Trump, in his last debate, it was almost as if he was a little calmer and quieter and was sending a few different signals almost. I don't know if it was because his people said to him, hey, calm down. You know, his hair was neater. So does that, right? I mean, I don't know if it was just me. Now, not to say that at times he was very Trump-esque, where, you know, he kind of went after Jeb Bush a little bit. At the end, he said something directed toward Senator Cruz. But what does that say when, did anybody else but me notice that perhaps some kind of language or signal was changing? And what did that say about him?
What it says is that Trump is very strategic. He's not going to come out swinging unless there's a reason to come out swinging. There wasn't really a reason. They weren't bashing him. As soon as you offend him, you say something he doesn't like, what did he do? Gloves are off and he's coming at you, and watch out because you don't know which way he's going to come at you.
That is true. I mean, he kind of...
But that's not what happened on the GOP stage of the last debate. They were going after Rubio.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, that's...
I mean, Christie and Rubio went at it.
Back and forth.
Well, actually, Christie went at it and Rubio was taking it.
Yeah. And what happened there with your expertise with the whole repeat the messaging? What does that say in terms of, you know, what you're saying and how you're presenting yourself?
Well, one thing you have to realize is that being on a debate stage, there is a lot of pressure. You're trying to remember a lot of information. And even though he's, 44 years old, I think that's correct?
Yes, I think that is correct.
As we mature, because I don't like to say the word aging, but as we mature, what happens is that sometimes you lose your spot, sometimes you forget, and sometimes it isn't as quick, you're not as quick to recover where you were.
Right.
Now, that happens, and if it does happen, it's normal. It happens to everyone. Some people sure have better memory than others, but you're also talking about that he's under a lot of pressure, mm-hmm. and people are looking at all of the candidates critically, but particularly him, because he seems to be moving up in the ranks, as evidenced by his increases in poll numbers, right?
Right, and that's why the attacks get fast and furious, because as soon as somebody moves up into a position that's threatening, all the other candidates have to start attacking and pinpointing what you're doing and kind of calling you out. So that was clear on the stage. One thing that's very interesting, in terms of presenting yourself, look at Bernie Sanders. He's really resonating with younger audiences. And I'm reading, it's pretty much saying that younger generations look at him because he is kind of awkward, and he's definitely anti-establishment, but he's got that cranky grandpa vibe that's almost lovable. So in that sense, you know, rather than being, Hillary has a lot of confidence when she speaks, and she really, she has a much different presence than he does, but yet it still works.
It works, and it's almost Trump-esque, except he's not as abrasive or in your face as Trump. He will still get his point out, but he does it in a very polite way. And, you know, you're talking about his appearance, and sure, I mean, he does look like everybody's grandpa, someone you could get along with, and he's cool, and he's hip, and he's appealing to the younger voters. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You mentioned when you're on stage, and you know, sometimes it's hard to rebound, or maybe you're nervous, which kind of segues into my next question. When you study a person's speech or their body language signals, how do you tell the difference between someone who is nervous and someone who may not be telling the truth?
Well, first of all, in terms of telling the truth, that's really hard to pick up, and I'm going to tell you why. Those answers are rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed, and then they're rehearsed again. Mm-hmm. And then when you think they're finished, guess what? They're rehearsing it one more time.
Yeah.
I mean, so they are preparing for questions, and they're also preparing for rebuttals and how they're going to respond to all of those rebuttals.
And that's true.
Because these are rehearsed, there's really no reason to lie, or if they are, or maybe they don't feel 100% confident about what you're saying, you might see a slight shoulder shrug. You know, you'll see some type of tell, but it really, you pick up on the body language when they are making jabs at each other.
Yeah.
Because then you can see how that's being perceived, how it's being taken, you know, whether they like it or not, whether they're confident in what they're saying. And initially, they might be nervous, but once you get settled into the process, into the question and answer, then you're going to see a decrease in nerves. That's very natural to happen. You wouldn't expect someone to be nervous for the entire 2 to 3 hour debate.
Exactly.
You would see that a decrease. However, when they change topics, and let's say you're going from Social Security to foreign policy, someone might be more well-versed in Social Security than foreign policy. So when you transition to another topic or another question and they're not comfortable with it because maybe they don't know enough about it, then you might start seeing some behaviors. Not necessarily that they're lying, but that they're unsure.
Does the body language is it less when you're unsure, or do you think you use your hands more or put your body more into it? How does that work?
That's individual. Some people get more animated and bouncy. You know, they might see toe tapping. They might move back and forth, side to side on their feet. That's really individual. But you just get a sense when you're watching them of what their baseline is. You know, what is normal for them when they're answering? And some people will adjust the microphone. I'm like, why are you adjusting the microphone? It's in the exact same position as when you walked on the stage.
Oh, right? Yeah, that's a good point. You see that happen a lot.
They'll bend it a little bit. I'm like, they'll bend it a little bit. I'm like, why are you tweaking it?
I never would have known that.
Yeah.
You just saying that is, you know, kind of jogging my memory of when I've seen, you know, different candidates do that. That's interesting. What about the
nervous energy?
It is. You're channeling it. What about the average person? So, I mean, I remember now you're really making me dig into the archives here. Way long time ago, I had a boyfriend who would have almost a yawn, and that made me feel like he wasn't telling the truth. But I never knew if it was just a nervous yawn or a lie. So do people do that?
Yeah, people do. Absolutely. They will yawn. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. There is no Pinocchio effect. There isn't one body language move or gesture that indicates that someone is lying. Everyone is individual. Well, one person may show a lot of body language gestures and somebody else not. And just because you see gestures does not mean that someone's lying. It could be they're nervous. It could be that it's bringing up memories about somebody else that they know that did whatever you're talking about. Let's say you're talking about stealing money, for example. Right. Or someone lying at work. Whatever the situation is, you might be talking to them and you're going to notice, why did that person just look away? And all of a sudden they seem to be moving their weight from side, you know, from foot to foot. They're shifting back and forth. What's going on? Are they not telling me the truth? Maybe, or maybe it's generating a thought about something else and it's cutting too close to home.
Yeah, that's a really good point, which it's kind of scary if you think about it. With what goes on in the criminal justice system and law enforcement having to crack cases. And, you know, I'm sure when somebody is being interrogated and they're under pressure, you know, you would know, first of all, is it their body language is definitely talking. Is it nervous or is it a lie? That must be really tough to tell.
Right. It can be, if you know what you're looking for, the body will betray you.
Right.
You'll try to look. I go watch where I'm looking and shrink my hands to myself, keep my body still. It's too much because that's not acting naturally. It's not a natural flow of movement. And so when it's not a natural flow of movement, it's like, aha. So every time I look at someone or I'm analyzing video, I'm always like, what's out of place? What doesn't belong?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Like, it's almost like when you know, in the papers a while ago, and I think they still have it in the newspapers where I'm talking about, they have two pictures, and you have to find, in one picture, they're like six missing items. Find those missing items, right?
Right.
So it's the same thing with body language. I look at it, I'm like, okay, what's different? What's different about this picture that isn't typical?
That's really interesting.
And that's how I approach it. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, that's on
because
a whole level.
What happens a lot of time with people is they miss something that is so blooming obvious because they're always like, okay, I've got to look for the tapping of the feet. I have to look for the drumming of the fingers. I got to look when they're looking away and up to the right and to the left. And you know, what is it that they're doing? But you're so focused on certain variables that you forget about the bigger picture.
You take it to a whole new level, clearly with your expertise, there's no doubt. It's really interesting. But what happens if you want to improve your body language? Are there quick exercises or does it require heavy coaching? You're a coach, so you know.
Yeah, I do have a lot of coaching clients and it depends on what the goal is. Right, and there are some great books out there that give you like the body language 101, but to take it into a more deeper level and how it's going to work for you. So for example, if it's for sales, whether it's you want to re-engage with your teenagers, because teenagers will lie to you. They will look at you and say the sun is purple. And they will look so convincing.
I know, like they believe it.
Because they believe it. And that's it. You hit the nail on the head. When people believe what they're saying, they're not going to show a lot of body language indicators. And also the stakes have to be really high, meaning they have to have a lot to lose.
Right.
So if they're going to get caught, for example, we're talking about teens, if they're going to get caught cheating on an exam, and if they get caught, that means that they're going to lose their scholarship. More than likely, they're going to show some more tell that somebody else, like when you ask them, like, hey, how you doing? They're like, yeah, I'm doing all right. when they're really not, because they got no skin in the game. They don't have a dog in the fight.
Exactly. So, you experience so much as a coach and a trainer, both with organizations and individuals. And you'd almost expect that, you know, I'll take it right into like the C-level, that C-level executives would come to you for training. But what about lawyers, people in the medical field? I mentioned law enforcement, media professionals. How would you help them?
Well, with those people, they're all going to have a different objective. So lawyers, it's about, how do you assess veracity in someone? And then how is it, because when you hear the word lawyer, it's like, they're going to be lying to me, they're not going to believe me, right? So how is it that lawyers can establish rapport with clients? How can they make clients or witnesses comfortable enough so they can get the truth out of them, right?
Right.
So it depends on what the goal is. So people in the medical field, and I've talked to physicians, as I've talked to lawyers, that with physicians, it is like a lot of times they forget about their bedside manner, mm-hmm. not because they're mean people. It's because they're so focused. There's insurance. So they have what 15 minutes per patient. So there's a lot they have to get done that they forget who they're talking to. So when I talk to physicians, it's like, put the laptop away, take a few minutes to make that connection with your patient. Why? Because you want your patient to be honest with you and comfortable enough to say, yes, I am 4 months pregnant and mm-hmm. I haven't kicked my cocaine habit.
Right. Oh my gosh. Exactly.
Right. You want people to like you and people to trust you. And research has demonstrated that physicians, that patients who actually like their physicians and think that their physicians care about them, are less likely to sue their physician for malpractice.
Oh, that's a good point.
Now, I'm not talking about blatant malpractice, we're in a sue-friendly country, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone, you looked at me wrong, correct. I'm suing you. I mean, it can be that trivial sometimes. So the research has demonstrated that if your patients like you, they're less likely to sue you. And then what else did you mention?
Oh, law enforcement. Yeah, that's a
law biggie. Enforcement too. Right, people respect the law, but people don't really want to associate with police officers. You see a police officer, was I speeding? You know, is my tag expired?
What's negative,
going on?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right, it's very negative. So how can law enforcement start establishing some healthy relationships, friendly relationships with their community?
Oh, that's so important.
Law enforcement not only protect us, but they also need us, just like we need them.
Yeah, it's a relationship. It's a back and forth.
It is absolutely back and forth. When you like your law enforcement and trust your law enforcement, you're more likely to pick up a phone and say, hey, you know, I'm just not sure about this car that's in the neighborhood. It's been here for the past couple of days, and it's here from this time to that time. It could be nothing, maybe not. Would you come check it out? Instead of automatically thinking, I can't call the cops. What are they going to do? You can't trust them anyway.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you wouldn't trust them with the information.
Exactly.
So you wouldn't bother. That's really you've made some great assessments over each of the different professions. And
you also talked about media.
Yeah,
media
too.
I've worked with journalists. Like, how is it that you can get more out of the 15 minutes that you have with someone, an interviewee? Because sometimes, you know, however long that first interview is, that's all you have. How do you make that person feel comfortable enough? Or how do you know when they're hedging and they're not telling you everything?
Right.
So you can explore a little better, dive a little deeper to get the whole story.
That's great. And you know what? It only, with everything you've said, it just helps the professional more in their own career. It's all positive. So let's break it down just a little bit. Curious about when you're working with male and female professionals, who do you think has the fastest rate of progress when you coach them?
It's not gender determined. It is motivation determined. Yeah, my clients who come and see me, it's the ones who are willing to do whatever it takes to reach that goal and not give me a bunch of excuses. Well, you know, I'm not sure how this is going to turn out, or, that's a different way, and I'm not sure. Okay, you're not sure, nobody's sure. You're not sure you're going to be able to dominate a new language until you learn it and try it and explore with it, right?
Exactly.
You have to be willing to take those risks and to put yourself out there, because when I'm coaching you, I'm going to put you out of your comfort zone because these are new skills that you don't know about yet.
Right, you
it's
have
a
to
new
be
way
out.
Of looking. Yeah, it's a new way of looking at yourself, but also at the world. And so, if you're not willing to take that risk, then you're going to be in square one. So it's not about gender. It's about motivation.
Yeah, motivation and really putting your heart and soul into it.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Blanca. Very good. I've been chatting with my special guest, Blanca Cobb, international body language and lie detection expert. In the next segment, Blanca will share some situations that you may not think about, but are really important for you to read body language. I also want to take a moment to thank Audible. Audible is offering Women Worldwide listeners a free 30-day trial membership and a free audiobook. Just go to www.audible.com/women and browse over 180,000 audio programs. You can download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. I read 1 to 2 books a month because of Audible, and I can take my favorite titles on the go. So right now I'm reading Executive Toughness by Jason Selk, and 3 books that I just read, which are great for entrepreneurs and startups, are 0 to 1 by Peter Thiel and Blake Masters, Influencers, The New Science of Leading Change by Joseph Grenny and Kerry Patterson, and of course, The Art of the Start 2.0 by Guy Kawasaki. So now you can get your free 30-day trial and free audiobook today by signing up and going to www.audible.com/women.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show where Blanca Cobb and I were just chatting about body language and the presidential election, as well as the different types of professionals who need body language training. So, Blanca, let's pick back up on that topic because it's really a good one. We're training. Do you think it's a one-time shot, or do you work continuously with people over a period of time? So in other words, does training ever end? Are you good enough, or do you ever know enough?
Look, I still train myself. Are you kidding me? The research still comes out. It's not like, okay, we know enough about nonverbal communication, so we're done. No, it's just like, it doesn't matter what field it is, if it's medicine or science or law, engineering, pharmacy. I don't know why my brain's going to all these sciences, but yeah. You get my point. It doesn't matter what right. It is. It's about continually learning. And so there's the same answer for my coaching clients and those who are considering coaching with me. You can have a one-time shot at it, but that's all you're going to get. It's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go snow skiing for the first time and it's only going to be today.
Yeah.
That's not going to work for you. You have to practice. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to have some failures. But guess what? That's how you learn, pick yourself back up, and keep moving on. It's the same thing when you're learning about communicating and understanding people and human behavior.
Yeah, and making mistakes is a part of it. And as you mm-hmm. make mistakes and learn, you feel more comfortable. And I would think that, you know, whether you are the CEO or the law enforcement office or you are a doctor, there's going to be so many different situations that you're placed in where one training session is not going to cover everything.
No.
I would imagine.
Not.
Well,
but you want to build on that foundation. You want to continually build on that foundation.
Absolutely. And that's the best way to grow in your profession and to get people to trust you. That's what it's all mm-hmm. about, relationships and trust.
Yep.
So what are some of the ways that maybe you can read body language in situations that people don't think about? So maybe dating, when you're in the workplace, teens bullying other teens. What should we be thinking about and reading?
Well, like for dating situations, that's a good example. A lot of times people, they go on that first date and they have this checklist. Okay, what do you do? Where are you from? How long have you been there? I mean, hello, what is this? This is not a date. It sounds more like an interrogation, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about your relationship. How long were you together? And what happened? Why are you divorced now? Or why didn't it work out? No. That's the wrong approach. It's supposed to be a conversation. And so with a conversation, it's sharing. You have to share information too. Right? That's
right.
How someone gets to know you, whether you're a happy person, you're an optimistic person, a pessimistic person, what are your goals? What do you do for fun? So many times people forget about having fun on dates. This isn't about looking for the next spouse or long-term relationship. Because then you forget about the moment. And there's so much power of living, breathing, and being in the moment.
Yeah, and it's so important to be in the moment.
It is. I mean, it is very important. But then what signs are you sending off? So if you're asking all these questions, you know, on your checklist to find out whether this is a good candidate for you to stay with or go on a second date with, how are you coming across? How are you being perceived? It isn't only what you're reading and getting from the other person. It's what are you putting out there? What messages are you sending? And people forget about that.
Yeah, they definitely do. Now, what happens though, and we'll just stay with the dating for a second. There's a lot of apps out there, Tinder, Kick is another one that I recently heard about, where younger people are feeling that, you know, even though they're in college, they're not able to meet other people who are like them. So they use a dating app and then they end up going to meet with somebody. You really don't know a lot about these people. Are there any signs that you should be looking for in terms of their body language that, okay, this person is a stalker, or what they say, they're a stalker, or maybe I should not have a second date with this person. What do you think about that?
That's a great question. And my initial answer is this. People are always on their best behavior on those first several dates. Why? They want another one. They want to get to know you. But here's the deal. What somebody says, oh, you know, it's so nice to meet you, and oh, I love skiing too. But yet they can't tell you another thing about skiing.
Yeah.
That's a red flag. Right? Or if they have a wandering eye as you're talking to them, let's say you meet at a coffee shop and they're checking their phone and they're not paying attention to you. Those are signs. A lot of times what happens on these first dates is that people do get nervous and they are fidgety, or they might look around. And it's not because they necessarily have a wandering eye. It's just they don't know what to do with themselves. And so what I tell my clients who come to me dating coaching is that you put it on yourself. It's like a back door opening.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little nervous. You know, I haven't been out with someone, or this is the first time I've gone out in a long time, or whatever. You just call the elephant in the corner of the room. That just seems to like let the hot air out of the balloon, if you will. People just get more relaxed. If you can envision that really tight ball of a balloon, and when you start letting the air out, how it just becomes softer. It's the same thing. And that helps people. Because people get really strung up on, I got to make a good impression. They get so stuck on this first good impression that they're not letting their authentic self show. And then it's a misread.
Right. And then they don't make a good first impression. Is there anything to be said about bullying characteristics, being in a group of people and sensing, can you sense if somebody is a bully and perhaps not wanting to hang out with a certain type of person? Anything body language that you can read there?
Yeah. I mean, the rolling of the eyes, I think, is pretty obvious.
Right.
But when someone's talking, they look like they're giving you a cold shoulder because they're slightly turning away from you. Or if they're talking, they can get very aggressive with their hand gestures, meaning they can put their hand, just slap their hand down on the table or put it on the back of the chair. You know, they might put their hands on their hips, or they give you those types of signs as they're talking. You're like, wait, where's it coming from? We're just having a conversation. Or if you have a different opinion, do they really need to come at you? And what I'm talking about, come at you, is like taking a step forward. And as they lean into that step, they open up their chest. You know what I'm talking about? Can you
visualize? Right, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how is it? you know, what is their body language when they're talking? But a lot of times you get a sense about the bullying is how they talk about other people.
Yes, that is true, because the way that they're talking about other people, especially aggressively, could someday turn mm-hmm. into them talking aggressively about you.
Exactly.
Could transfer
exactly.
over. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the workplace, and I'm going to transition a little bit to a business or even a sales professional. How important yeah. is body language during the sales process? Can you learn enough about body language to actually close a deal?
Oh, absolutely. What are the signs? Let me ask you this. People need to, do you know the signs when someone's thinking?
Yeah.
If they give them a proposal and then they're thinking about whether they're going to go to the next step. Or what are some signs that they're ready to buy?
Mm-hmm.
Or that they're not interested? That's super important. Or what's even critical, let's say that you notice that there's a change in their behavior. All right. And you start talking about price, or maybe you're talking about delivery. I'm making something up, something different right. that doesn't do with money, but delivery. But then you notice the shift in their baseline. You're
right.
like, there's something about what I said that makes them uncomfortable. So imagine the power in saying, Mrs. Jones, I'm getting the sense here, but correct me if I'm wrong. I'm getting the sense that you might not be too happy about that delivery date.
Oh, that's good.
Goes, oh my gosh, you read my mind. No, I'm not reading your mind. I'm reading your body language.
Exactly. Which then makes Mrs. Jones feel, you know me. You understand me.
Exactly.
That is really powerful. So it's, you know, as a sales professional, you know, and we all sell in what we do,
yeah.
it's really stepping back to understand you're going to go through whatever your process is, but if you don't include the other person in it mm-hmm. and watch them closely for their cues, you really shouldn't go to the next step. So it's yeah. all about the other person.
It is about the other person. What are their wants? What are their problems? How are you going to provide that solution?
Right. And that's going to get you.
What are their needs? That's
right.
going to get you your sale.
Exactly.
But one way of understanding it is not only listening to their words, but it's also listening to what they're not saying. And people reveal how they feel through their body language and facial expressions.
Yeah, you can't hide it. You know, or even if you think you're controlling mm-hmm. it, something else will mm-hmm. come out to cue, to let someone else know how you're really feeling.
Right.
Okay. Well, switching gears a little bit, because I know that you co-authored a book, and within your book, you talk about, you know, it. I guess your contribution discusses fear, which of course,
yeah.
fear for all of us is paralyzing in our lives. Can you just share a little bit about overcoming fear?
You have to take that step to know that fear is... A lot of times it's fiction. It's something you make mm-hmm. up. It's because you don't know what's going to happen. You
right.
don't want to take that step. It's like, okay, I don't think I'm going to get on a motorcycle because I could die. I just read online about this dad who got killed on this motorcycle wreck. And yes, that does happen, but walking out of your house or getting into your car or eating food
mm-hmm.
could potentially kill you. So it's that fear of the unknown that you have to find a healthy way in a calculated way to take a healthy risk.
So you actually have to get closer to your
hard.
Fear.
Yeah, it does. You walk yourself through it. You walk yourself closer to it. And people have to believe in themselves. And a lot of times people don't. And in the chapter that I wrote, I talk about Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
And when he first wrote Rocky, how much he had to shop it out.
Hmm.
And then how much faith he had in himself, because the only way that he was going to sell that script is if he got to star in it. He had a role in it.
Ah.
And there were so many people that said, we're not taking a chance. You? Who are you? Why are we going to take a chance on you? But he believed so much in himself. And we already know the history.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Yeah. How many Rockies were there? And
how many Rockies?
Great.
And then he just won an award.
It's amazing.
For his performance in Creed.
Oh, I didn't
was
see that
Was it supporting
yet.
Actor? I can't remember. No, I have not seen the movie either, and I want to.
I heard it was really, really good, though. Great reviews.
Yes, I've heard the same thing, but I have not seen it. I had a big crush on Sylvester Stallone when I was a kid.
Oh, I did, too.
I was like, oh.
You know, who didn't, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's almost like we build up our own fears and sometimes drama around them. And like you said, getting closer and moving through them is probably the best way to, I guess, get over your obstacle or whatever's stopping you.
Right. I mean, if Sylvester Stallone didn't have the faith in himself, he could say, oh my gosh, these people have filmed movies before. I've never been in a movie. What do I know? They've got to be right. Why are they going to take a chance on me? He was like, but that wasn't his attitude. His attitude was, no, I know this character. I wrote this story. I can get in this character's mind and I can portray it authentically on screen. Mm-hmm. And he did not let up.
No, you have to be relentless. Believing in something and having that conviction is really important. On a lighter note, maybe you could just quickly share some positive body language signs that we should recognize and feel really good about in our relationships, you know, with Valentine's Day around the corner.
Right. Well, one thing with body language is people don't realize that how they position their body really sends a powerful message. So when you're talking to your date or your partner or your spouse, you want to make sure that your torso, your body is facing them.
Okay.
So if you can envision you and I talking, but as you're talking to me, I start turning away from you, or I take a step away from you. That's not as engaging as if I'm standing, let's say, 3 feet away from you, but I'm looking at you face on, and then my torso is facing in your direction, and my feet are facing your direction. Or let's say that you and I are talking, but I have my hands clasped tightly into fists, and I'm crossing my arms against my chest.
Yeah.
And I'm tapping my foot.
That's
it sends
another
a very
signal.
Different message. Or when you're talking to someone, you want to have open hands, but you don't want to look like your hands are open the entire time, because then that's creepy, right? It looks like you're begging.
Yeah.
But that conveys openness. And that conveys honesty when you have your hands open. And people are body language novices. What happens a lot of times is that their body language is very stiff, because they learn in classes or in books, okay, just have open the body language, still look at somebody, and stand my feet face this way, and okay, my head should be tilted or shouldn't be tilted, but it doesn't come across authentically.
Yeah, it's a lot
and
to think
a
about.
A lot of times you see, there's a lot to think about, but they have so much tension, like you carry a lot of tension in your jaws and in your shoulders. And also in your hands. So that way your hands do not look relaxed. They look relaxed. They look more rigid. And that is not going to send the message that you want. And shoulders, they don't have to come all the way up to your ears, but they will come up some when you're tense. And people notice it because they're like, something's off. They may not go, hey, your shoulders, relax those shoulders. They're like, something's off. A lot of times people get the sense, something's not quite right. I can't put my finger on it.
Wow. And it's as simple as your shoulders just being raised too high.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it, when it all naturally comes together, you know, the body language just flows with what you're saying. And that's when all the positives come through. So something tells me if you're working on your body language, you have to have a lot of practice and believe in yourself. And then it just naturally comes through in your relationships.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Think about when you are talking to someone for the first time who you don't know very well versus someone who you know really well. Totally different body language, because you're more comfortable, you're more relaxed. And so I challenge people to try to adapt that body language when you start meeting people, because you're setting the stage for that, for those first interactions.
Right.
What is it going to look like? What is it going to feel like?
And you'd be sending a completely different signal to that new acquaintance, which is very friendly and you're open to discussion.
Yes.
That's really good. I'm going to try that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Blanca, tell us where we can find out more about you and your work.
On everything like BlancaCobb.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, everything is at Blanca Cobb is where you can find me. And
fantastic.
I'm always on social media.
Yes,
you can hit
me
up on my website.
I come across you on Twitter quite a bit.
That's right.
I love it. Well, Blanca, thank you very much for coming back on my show. You shared so many excellent tips and insights about body language. It was just wonderful. Thank you.
It was my pleasure. I'm so happy to be back on your show. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you.
Oh, anytime. You can come back again. And you know what? I also want to thank quickly Audible for their special offer to listeners and to all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until we meet again for our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.